Radha Krishna Padam Sahagana Lalita Shiva Sakam Jitamascha He Krishna Karna Sindho Dina Bandha Jivatate Kopesha Koshika Kanta Radha Kanta Nivastite Tapta Kanchen Gorangi Radha Vrindapaneshri Vanchakapa Tujyascha Kripa Sindhu Jayivacha Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 2, Chapter 3, Pure Devotional Service, Text Number 15.
Sa
Vai
Sai
Bhagavata
Bhagavata
Raja
Raja
Mandaleya
Mandaleya
Maha
Maha
Prata
Prata
Bala
Bala
Kridanakai
Kridanakai
Kridham
Kridham
Krishna
Krishna
Kridham
Kridham
Ya
Ya
Adade
Adade
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Pandaleyo Maharata
Pandaleyo Maharata
Balakrita Kai Kridam
Balakrita Kai Kridam
Krishna Kridam Ya Adade
Krishna Kridam Ya Adade
Savai Bhagavato Savai Bhagavato Raja
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Pandaleyo Maharata
Pandaleyo Maharata
Balakridana Kai Kridan
Balakridana Kridan
Krishna Kridan Yadade
Krishna Kridan Yadade
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Pandaleyo Maharata
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Mandaveyo Maharatha
Mandaveyo Maharatha
Balakridana Kridam
Balakridana Kridam
Krishna Kridam Yadade
Krishna Kridam Yadade
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Savai Bhagavato Raja
Mandaveyo Maharatha
Mandaveyo Maharatha
Balakridana Kridam
Balakridana Kridam Krishna Kridam Yadade Krishna Kridam Yadade Savai Bhagavato Raja Pandaleyo Maharatha Bhagavidam Nakaridam Krishna Kridam Yadade Pandaleyo Maharatha
Balakridana
Kridam
Krishna
Krishna Hiranyarabhade
Sahi Vai
certainly
Bhagavata great devotee of the Lord,
great devotee of the Lord.
Raja
Maharaj
Krishna
Pandaveya,
grandson of the Pandavas,
Maharata,
a great fighter. Compound word. Actually means great chariot. Maharata. But because it's compound, it means person who's fighting on the chariot.
Bala.
While a child,
Kridanakai,
with play dolls,
Kridan, playing,
Krishna,
Lord Krishna,
Kridan,
activities,
Ya,
who,
Adade,
accepted.
Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Maharaj Pariksit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deities. Purport in the Bhagavad Gita, 6:41, it is stated that even a person who has failed in the proper discharge of yoga practice is given a chance to take birth in the house of devout brahmanas, or the houses of rich men like Kshatriya kings or rich merchants. But Maharaj Pariksit was more than that, because he had been a great devotee of the Lord since his previous birth, and as such, he took his birth in an imperial family of the Kurus, and especially that of the Pandavas. So from the very beginning of his childhood, he has a chance to know intimately the devotional service of Lord Krishna and his own family. The Pandavas, all being devotees to the Lord, certainly venerated family deities in the royal palace for worship. Children who appear in such families, fortunately, generally imitate such worship of the deities, even in the way of childhood play. By the grace of Lord Sri Krishna, we had a chance of being born in a Vaishnava family. And in our childhood, we imitated the worship of Lord Krishna by imitating our father. Our father encouraged us in all respects to observe all functions such as the Ratha Yatra and Dolya Yatra ceremonies, and he used to spend money liberally for distributing prasad to us children and our friends. Our spiritual master, who also took his birth in a Vaishnava family, got all inspirations from his great Vaishnava father, Thakur Bhaktivinoda. That is the way of all lucky Vaishnava families. The celebrated Mirabai was a staunch devotee of Lord Krishna as the great lifter of Govardhan Hill. The life history of many such devotees is almost the same, because there is always symmetry between the early lives of all great devotees of the Lord. According to Jiva Goswami, Maharaj Pariksit must have heard about the childhood pastimes of Lord Krishna at Vrindavan, where he used to imitate the pastimes with his young playmates. According to Sridhar Swami, Maharaj Pariksit used to imitate the worship of the family deity by elderly members. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti also confirms the viewpoint of Jiva Goswami, so accepting either of them, Maharaj Pariksit was naturally inclined to Lord Krishna from his very childhood. He might have imitated either of the above-mentioned activities, and all of them established his great devotion from his very childhood, a symptom of a Mahabhagavat. Such Mahabhagavats are called Nitya Siddhas, or souls liberated from birth. But there are also others who may not be liberated from birth, but who develop a tendency for devotional service by association, and they are called sadhana siddhas. There is no difference between the two in the ultimate issue, and so the conclusion is that everyone can become a sadhana siddha a devotee of the Lord, simply by association with pure devotees. The concrete example is our great spiritual master, Sri Narada Muni. In his previous life, he was simply a boy of a maidservant, but through association with great devotees, he became a devotee of the Lord of his own standard, unique in the history of devotional service. Savai Bhagavato Raja Pandaveya Maharata Bala Kridana Kai Kridan Krishna Kridam Ya Adade. Maharaj Parikshit, the grandson of the Pandavas, was from his very childhood a great devotee of the Lord. Even while playing with dolls, he used to worship Lord Krishna by imitating the worship of the family deity. Nam Vishnu Vidaya Krishna Vristaya Vidaya Srimate Bhakti Vidaya Swami Jirane Namaste Sarasatya Deva Kauravani Vichane Nirvishesha Shinivari Paraskratya Jaya Sikhane. In Bhagavad Gita, Arjuna was asking Krishna, what is the destination of a person who takes to the process of self-realization, but then does not complete it because he becomes deviated? The yoyam yoga toya prokta samyena madhu surana etapsiham pashami chanchala jvasti pinso yoya ayati shariyo peto yoya chalati manasa aprapti yoga samsidim kandithim krishna gajati. As he perished like a ribbon cloud with no position in any sphere. So here it says, yoga chalati manasa. That as soon as one tries to make progress on the path of devotional service, then Maya will try to deviate one by so many different allurements. But it's not unusual for one who takes the process of devotional service to somehow or another become deviated. Of course, sometimes we see that someone has taken up the process and they become deviated and we think, oh, this person is deviated. But we don't realize or we don't recognize is the fact that deviation does not mean simply to live outside the temple. Real deviation is as soon as we forget about Krishna, then we're deviated. So it is not that simply someone who goes away from the temple is deviating. Many of us, or most of us, or all of us, we're always deviating. One time, as I mentioned before, Giriraj Maharaj was walking with Srila Prabhupada on the beach in Mumbai, and Prabhupada said some philosophical point, and Giriraj Maharaj said, "Thank you very much, Srila Prabhupada, because I was in Maya. I didn't understand." And Prabhupada began to chuckle and said, "Well, you're always in Maya." That sometimes we hear something and it makes some sense to us, but that doesn't mean we're out of Maya. That we should understand that seeing anything out of its relationship with Krishna means that we're in bewilderment. If we don't see Krishna clearly, that means to some degree or another, we're covered by the modes of nature, whether it be goodness or passion or ignorance. Somehow or another, we're not connected with Krishna in our original position. Therefore, we've deviated. Of course, we can try to develop, by practice, a devotional attitude, and by such a devotional attitude, and by utilizing Krishna's things in Krishna's service, then gradually the clouds of illusion, the mist of anarthas and the clouds of aparads, they can be dissipated so that we can come to realize that Vasudeva Saravamiti, that there's nothing but Krishna. So Arjuna is worried, what about the person who takes the process, trying to come to Krishna consciousness, but then due to previous attachments, due to certain allurements, one becomes deviated. Kachinna vaya vibrantach chinabra vivanashati apratishto mahabaho vimura brahmana pati. Does he perish like a ribbon cloud without any position in any sphere? Of course, we don't worry about these things because, but in the Vedic culture, they're worried that if I gave up my occupational duty, my swadharma, then I may incur sinful reactions for giving up my duty. I have a duty to do under the laws of nature, but I'm not going to do that duty. Therefore, I'm more or less acting against the laws of nature, and I'll have to suffer the reactions for doing it. But if one takes the devotional service, then the devotional service protects one from the reactions for such deviation. Of course, Arjuna, he was acting in devotional service, but he didn't give up his occupational duty. But sometimes it's seen that one may give up his occupational duty just to engage in Krishna service. Yakta Sadharma Charanam Bhujam Harer Bhajana Patro Tatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatatat Padatam Siddharmatha, that one may give up his occupational duties and take to the devotional service of the Supreme Lord. But even if he falls down while in an immature stage, then what is the loss for him? Of course, we should not think that if I take the devotional service and I give up my occupational duty, if I neither perform my service nicely, nor do I become Krishna conscious, although the attempt is nice, still we have to understand that we may have to suffer the reactions of improperly performing activities. Prabhupada writes in one of the purports in the sixth chapter that even if one becomes low-born in his next lifetime, then auspicious Krishna consciousness still goes on. We shouldn't think because we're devotees, therefore we don't get any results at all. We get results as much as we're attached, and because we're not pure devotees, therefore to some degree we're attached. In any case, the essence of life, the essence of existence, the essence of our original position is that we're by nature Krishna's servants. Therefore, whatever we can actually develop in the mood of service to Krishna, because service to Krishna means, not only, of course, it means primarily a mood of service, because from that mood of service, naturally, if one is seriously developing that mood, naturally the activities of the body and the mind will follow. One who's cultivated an actual mood of service to Krishna, who's in Krishna consciousness because of that mood, therefore naturally he'll be reluctant to do anything which is outside of Krishna's service, or to plan or think about things outside of Krishna's service. So that mood of devotional service is the essence, or that service attitude is the essence of devotional service. Without that essential quality of a mood of service to Krishna, then everything else we're doing is more or less material. So if one is taken to the cultivating that mood and he falls down, then at least that mood will be, whatever he's made progress in developing that mood, that's permanently good for him. On the other hand, even if one perfectly executes his occupational duties, still, if he doesn't become Krishna conscious, then ultimately one has not really gained anything substantial. Arjuna, he was doubtful that here, if I take to devotional service, I take to the yoga process, I don't become perfect, then do I lose everything? And if I have given up my occupational duties, and I simply have to suffer the reactions for not performing my duty, then what's my position? If there's a big cloud in the sky, and a little piece breaks off and usually dissipates very quickly. So do we become like the cloud who took shelter of Krishna, the big cloud, but then we deviate and we disappear. We bloop. The only thing that remains of us is one little sound, bloop, into the ocean of material existence. And someone says, "Where is so-and-so?" The last thing I heard from them is bloop. And that was it. It disappeared. Etam me samshayam Krishna chaitam ahar shishay shetaha tvaranya samshayasyasya chaitanam upapadyate. This is my doubt, O Krishna, and I ask you to dispel it, but for you no one can destroy this doubt. So Krishna says, Shri Bhagavan Vacha Partha Naivaha Namutra Dinin Shastha Siddhidite Nehi Kalyana Kripta Shit Durgatin Tate Gachati. I think Tate means it. That's like an affection. Krishna is talking affectionately with Krishna, with Arjuna, so he calls him Tata. So if you like someone, you can call him Tata. Because they may not appreciate it. I think that's what Tata means. Tata, my friend. So Krishna says, my dear Arjuna, a person performs auspicious activities, he does become vanquished either within this world or in the next world. That one who does good, my friend, is never overcome by evil. In other words, whatever auspicious thing that we do doesn't negate our auspicious activities. But neither whatever good we do, at least in the material world, actually negates our inauspicious activities. One has to suffer and enjoy the results of all our activities. Especially if one is attached, if one is thinking about enjoying, and one has to get the results of suffering. And if one is thinking about performing pious activities, then he has to get the results of the pious activities. So if one is attached to the results, then one has to suffer or enjoy the results. So Krishna says, prapya punya pitam lokan vishisva shasiti samak suchinam shimatam gehe yoga prashta vijayate, that if one is taking the path of devotional service, then even if he falls down, well, a yoga brashta means he's taking to the path, but then he fell down. So he gets to enjoy Ishisva Shasviti Sama for many, many years on the planets of the Prapya Punya Kritam Lokan, on the planets where people perform pious activities or have performed pious activities. So if one has some material desire, if he left his yoga practice, then he gets the opportunity to fulfill his material desire for many, many years on the pious planets. But then he comes back and he's born in Sikhinam or Shimatam families where he gets some, doesn't have to work so hard. The Prabhupada said those who are born in the Western world, they've more or less been born in Shimatam families, wealthy families. Practically everyone in the Western world, they have money. That even in New York, for instance, if you go around and you collect bottles from the garbage, you can make $30,000-$40,000 a year collecting bottles. That's more than a school teacher makes. So that's a wealthy country. When Prabhupada was in Germany taking a morning walk, he saw that what people would have to work for a whole lifetime in India, people are throwing out in the garbage in Germany. He was walking there and people every certain Tuesday or Wednesday, they'd have this big pickup and people would put out old pianos and sofas and washing machines. Things that, you know, would be considered to be like worshipable in India, people were just throwing out. So this is Shimatam, wealthy families, but certainly not Suchinam. In the Western world, when a baby is born, in order to purify it, they put alcohol on it. They bathe in alcohol. So this is certainly not the most contaminating substance, alcohol, that's what they use to purify things in the Western world. And they think it's abominable that in India they take cow stool and they purify things with that and think, oh, these people are barbarians. They should use alcohol. But more or less, Shimatam families, But then Krishna says, Ataiva, Ataiva, Ataiva yoginam eva, kule bhavati dimata, etari durlabhataram loke janmad is idrisham. Upon taking another birth, those who are more advanced, those who are serious, just like Parikshit Maharaj, he was fasting until death on the bank of the Ganges, and he was simply praying to the great sages and rishis there that may you bless me that in my next lifetime I can at least take birth amongst the devotees so that I can continue to hear about the glories of Krishna. But when he's serious about hearing Krishna's glory, although one may not be sufficiently elevated to join Krishna in another universe to become eligible to enter into the spiritual world by performing, by practice in joining Krishna's lila in another universe, if one is not sufficiently advanced, but if he's serious, then ataiva yoginam eva kule bhaviti dhimata, then he takes birth in a family of transcendentalists, in a family of yogis. So, in that family, in the beginning, one will hear about Krishna, one will hear about the process of purification, so one gets a head start. Prabhupada gives the example all the time of someone who's learning the violin. So, one learns the violin and then goes to a very experienced violin company where they teach you the violin. Then they'll ask you, have you learned to play the violin before? And if you say yes, then they charge you twice as much. Because first of all, they have to help you forget all the wrong things so they can teach, then they have to teach you the right thing. After growing up in the material world, in Kali Yuga, especially modern society, Bhaktivinoda Thakura said that modern education takes a man and turns him into an ass. In other words, Kalo Sudra Sambhava. One is born as a Shudra, and then by modern education one becomes less than an animal. So people are very proud of their education, but it's not education, it's degradation. Therefore, after growing up and cultivating nescience for so many years, someone tries to become a devotee, and one is filled with all kinds of attachments, all kinds of material conceptions, and it becomes very difficult. As soon as one says, one thinks, hears that we're not the body, then there may be a little flickering, something happens, you know, beep beep, it might be true, and then mind says, forget it, don't listen to him, this is all nonsense. Even if you're not this body, you got to protect it, you know. He's going to tell you to starve to death. So, one generally, the mind is overwhelming us. And if there's one little thought about transcendence, suddenly because of our long experience and long practice, even during this lifetime, with sense gratification, immediately 50 thoughts come to cover us. You think, wow, that was pretty heavy. I thought for one moment about Krishna, and then I was overwhelmed by so many ideas for sense gratification. Maybe it's dangerous to think about Krishna. So, this is the difficulty of growing up, and especially modern Kali Yuga, is that due to long custom, it becomes difficult to actually take seriously the process of devotional service. We're so much convinced that this world is real, that this is what is practical means to make money. You're a good person if you make money, and you're a bad person if you don't. If you have a lot of money, even if you're mafioso number one, then somehow or another you're considered to be pious. And if you don't have any money, even though you're a saintly person, always meditating upon God, then you're considered to be a sinner. God has withdrew his mercy from you, therefore he won't give you any sense gratification. So modern society is upside down, and because modern society is upside down, we've been trained upside down, and we're quite conditioned by it. But still, Prabhupada says that even a person is quite conditioned by his previous material experience, still, if he's fortunate enough to get the association of devotees and takes it a little seriously, then there's some possibility of progress to become a sadhana siddha. To, by our determination, by our will, by our praying to Krishna, to change our activities from sense gratification to prema, or devotional service to Krishna. There's the possibility of doing that in the association of devotees. Sangha sanjayate kama. Association is considered to be the most important factor either in going to hell or going to the spiritual world. Association, of course, doesn't mean simply physical association. We can be physically associating with someone and be far, far away from them. On the other hand, we heard in the Srinamarita, from the Elevation of Krishna Consciousness today, that real association means to associate through a vibrational association, especially by hearing instructions. So if we actually hear the instructions and follow it, those instructions, then that's the most intimate way of associating with that person who's giving the instructions, either Krishna or Krishna's representatives. So, Krishna says that prakriti purusham, purusha prakriti stavhi bhumte prakriti janguna karna guna sangosya sad asad yoni janusu. Due to our association with so many material sound vibrations, we've taken so many auspicious and inauspicious births since time immemorial. Due to the fact that our minds have become filled with ideas how to enjoy the senses. And because the mind becomes filled with ideas of how to enjoy the senses, therefore the soul wills that the intelligence becomes subservient to the mind and senses in order to fulfill his aspirations for sense gratification. And as we heard, sharira yadavatmohi yachchap yukramati shraha prihivaitani samyati vayor ganda ivashaya. That the living entity is being carried by the intelligence, by his conceptions of life, one body to another. Just like the air is carrying aroma. So though the mind is by nature pure, but when it's filled with so many different conceptions, therefore it carries the living entity from one body to the next. Just like air is pure, but when air gets into association with a rose garden, it smells very like roses, and in association with a garbage place, then it smells like garbage. So when the living entity's consciousness associates with the mode of goodness, it becomes comparatively clear, and the most passionate ignorance becomes covered with all the different desires and conceptions that go along with passionate ignorance. And when he associates with a devotee and hears about the transcendental activities of Krishna and understands the science of devotional service, then the mind becomes spiritualized and enables one to become eligible to join Krishna in his pastimes. So one is taken to the process, in all seriousness for some time, he's born in a family of devotees, so from the very beginning of life, he can further make advancement. And those who are not so fortunate, when they realize the importance of such devotional service, they can also take advantage of the association of devotees, and then try to change their conceptions from matter to spirit. Therefore Krishna says, Maya Vesha Mano Yema Nityukta Upasate, or Mayeva Mayeva Mana Atatspa Mayi Budin Vesaya Ivashi Shashi Ma Eva Atu Uravam Samshaya. Just fix your mind upon me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and engage all your intelligence to me, thus you live with me always without a doubt. Ataita Rapya Sakta Si Matkara Paramogava Marathamapi Karmani. Ataita Apya Sakta Si Katuma Yoga Ashutya Ataita Apya Sakta Yogi Yogena Pato
Abhyasa yoga na kata mamcha pindranam.
Yeah.
Take a look at it.
Atachitam samadhatu nasakshno sni maistira abhyasena yogena chito mam ichchantum dhananjaya. So if you can ask 61 times without deviation, atachitam samadhatum nasakshno sni maistira abhyasena yogena chito. Then take to the process of abhyasa, or practice fixing the mind upon me. Take the rules and regulations of devotional service to help you fix your mind upon me. And this way, try to develop that desire to attainment. And then if you can't do that, then obviously, yasamarta si mat karma karamogava matartamapi karmani korvana siddhimavastasi. Then at least do your work and do it for me. Give up the results of your work and become, in that way, make progress so as taken to the rules and regulations to fix your mind upon it. So if we can't fix our mind upon Krishna, then at least we should take to the process of fixing the mind upon Krishna. That's the Bhagavad Vidhi, hearing about Krishna, chanting about Krishna, Tantra-Atika Vidhi, serving the deities. And if we can't do that, at least we should offer the results of our work to Krishna. And if we can't do that, then, good luck. Well, Krishna says, Taita Apisakta Asti, Kartamad Yogam Ashritya, Sarvakarampalam Tyaga, Pitakuru Itatma, then give some money to the Red Cross or something like that. Just give it to Sangha, of course. So the conclusion is that although most of us are not taking birth in families of devotees and from the very beginning of life cultivated devotional service, but at least we have this opportunity now, and if we take it in all seriousness, then we'll make progress and our lives will become more and more auspicious. And if we don't, then no one knows where we're going to be. The only thing people will know, the last thing they'll remember of us was that sound, loop. And then they disappeared in the ocean of material existence. So, I'll stop there. Thank you. Are there any questions? Yes. This is really interesting. The whole class about fixing mind on Krishna. To pick up on the last part, give charity to the Red Cross. It's not devotional service. It's not recommended. Yeah, I mean, it's better than giving it to, you know, the junkie who's giving you a hit on the street. If you have a choice, you know, you're about to give money to the Red Cross and the junkie comes up and says, you know, wait a second, why are you wasting your money? The Red Cross, you know. Take this, you know. So it's better than that. So if we have to make a choice, we give it to the Red Cross. Then, by doing that, the mind may become purified enough so that if we hear about Krishna, we won't immediately reject it. Our minds won't be so agitated.
Yeah. I try to fix my mind on Krishna and just work it just for one moment, and then next moment I forgot that I try to fix my mind on Krishna, and everything else is like normal Maya coming in, flowing. So it seems so, it's really difficult to
That's where Krishna says take the process of bhakti yoga, the rules and regulations, and that will help one fix the mind upon Krishna. So it said that it's not possible to fix the mind upon Krishna, therefore one accepts Bhajana Kriya. One hears the glories in the association of devotees of fixing the mind upon Krishna, but the practical way of doing it is to take the process by which one becomes qualified to do it. First of all, we can try and fix our activities upon Krishna. If we fix our activities upon Krishna, then there's some possibility of gradually being able to fix our mind upon Krishna. By fixing our activities upon Krishna, gradually the mind will become purified, and then it will become easier to think about Krishna. Now this body, this activity, is more or less, it's just a different vibration, that's all. It's a grosser vibration. But it's also a vibration.
It's like it's dominant.
This body? No, it's the mind that's dominant.
It's just mental influence, it's a mind influence.
Yeah, therefore, right now it is. But unless Krishna was there, we wouldn't be here. So Krishna is actually dominant. Daiviye Kugunamayi, Mama Maya Drapya, Mama Vaye Pukaidente, Maya Eitam Rantide. This divine energy of mind consisting of the three modes is difficult to overcome. For those who take shelter of me, they can easily cross beyond it. So we have to be convinced to take shelter of Krishna, and gradually we can make some progress.
And Prabhupada seems to indicate in this purport that birth is indeed a very important aspect in devotional service.
The birth isn't?
Well, it is.
It is. Yes.
That all great devotees, the illusion have the same background.
Yeah, so we may not be able to consider ourselves to be great devotees. Mm-hmm. Prabhupada said, don't try and become a great devotee, just try and become a devotee. You know, better to be a little blade of grass and everyone picks you around and develop a vrindavan. In a big time, like Brahman in this material world. So, we may not become elders, become great acharyas. But what's the difference? Ultimately, we just want to go back to the spiritual world. And there, we can just render our little service to Krishna. We're never going to be able to take Radharani's place. As that one day we walk into the temple and there's, you know, Radha, or there's Krishna, one of the devotees there, and Radha's. She's has the fan in her hand. She's been replaced. So Krishna is God and Radharani is the greatest devotee and everyone else falls into their place. But we get even more happiness by just appreciating them. Yes.
What will actually happen to somebody who's falling into that trap and then listening to what the sound vibration? For example, we have CDs in the boutique. Which is written on spiritual sounds or something.
Spiritual sounds?
Yeah, and there's some instrument that is not played by the monies and sound like spiritual, but it's actually not. Some cities we have to do.
Yeah. But where are we going there? So what's going to happen to the people here?
Yeah, so if somebody is becoming a devotee person and starts chanting.
Well, obviously, it'd be more auspicious to hear something from Prabhupada about Krishna. And even more auspicious than that is to understand what Prabhupada's saying. So, there's different degrees of auspiciousness. Obviously, you know, the boutique has a different purpose. It's not. People, you know, they have a different purpose. They're to make money. So therefore, somehow or another, they're playing that music. But for us, just because it's in the boutique, it doesn't mean it's spiritual for us. We've always been going to the boutique and crowd around and listen to, you know, whatever music is there, just because it's in the boutique. Well, ultimately, whatever helps us remember Krishna, that we should take shelter. That would be most auspicious for us. Probably this is playing in the boutique and the money is being offered to Radha Gopinath. Therefore, we're advanced enough when we go in and hear the music, we'll remember Radha Gopinath. But we should imitate it.
No, I didn't mean that somebody pays it in the boutique. I mean, maybe someone buys this now and
yeah, they're giving some money. Somehow the money goes to be utilized in Radha Gopinath's service. It's better than, you know, they get some of that from it.
But because it's an initiated devotee is doing it.
There's so many what ifs. What if the initiated devotee, before he hears the music, he's thinking about Krishna and they a star, a meteorite falls on his head. What if? There's so many what ifs. Anyhow, we shouldn't worry about it. We should worry about what if I hear it to get Krishna. So we should look at it for ourselves. Yes.
As you mentioned in the beginning of the lecture about the birth, if you have a birth in the Vaishnava family, and like you go to the parallel and the university of birth, you go learn it more, you first have to get out of the habit. So is it more auspicious than to get the Vaishnava birth, or it's more better than to be from your
You mean you get a Vaishnava birth? Well, if you get a Vaishnava birth and you don't take up the process, it's useless. Not completely useless, but you don't. To take a Vaishnava birth, and that's not to take advantage of it, it's not very good. If you get $1 million in your hand and you don't spend it, then it's as good as not having anything, practically speaking. But, generally speaking, if one gets a Vaishnava birth and he's actually gotten it because of his previous attempts at devotional service, then it's more likely to continue on with the process of devotional service and take advantage of it.
What is the nature of mercy? Because if you want to make advancement, you need to endeavor and have mercy, and get mercy.
Yeah, just by your endeavor alone is not sufficient. Just if you make an endeavor and you think, all right, Krishna, I made this endeavor, pay up. No, the attitude has to be there. By that, a certain attitude of surrender, it invokes Krishna's mercy.
And what is the nature of mercy?
Mercy?
Yeah.
It means that Krishna gives his blessings. He arranges, he reveals himself. Ultimately, real mercy is when Krishna reveals himself to the devotee. Everything else besides Krishna revealing himself to us doesn't really make so much difference.
So are there different levels of mercy?
Yeah, Krishna is revealing himself to different degrees. Yes.
Can you say something about this revealing of Krishna in certain degrees? What does it actually mean, practically speaking? It
means to understand the different levels of devotional service. Krishna, he says in Bhagavad Gita, that I'm the tasting water, I'm the light, and the sun, and the moon. So that's Krishna revealing himself. Or Krishna also reveals himself through the Vedas. Indirectly, he tells us how to work in order to work according to the laws of nature. And therefore, one becomes gradually purified by the indirect process. So Krishna can reveal himself indirectly and gradually purify ourselves, purify the living entity, or he can reveal himself directly. It's Krishna with a flute, peacock feather. And according to the different degrees of seriousness, the different degrees of progress, then as one goes from Vajna Kriya to Nartha Nivritti to Nishta, then one is able to relish the association of Krishna more and more. At first, hearing about Krishna may not be so appreciated, one doesn't appreciate so much. But as one makes progress, and just hearing about Krishna, associating with Krishna, and is able to relish it progressively more and more, from taste to attachment to actual love. Okay, thank you very much, brother. Shrimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Shrila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Lord, thank you.